Hi, friends. I hope your summer is going great. Thanks for spending some of your precious time with us to learn what's happening around the world right now and in God's kingdom. We recently put out a specific summer challenge to our Compassion Radio partners like you, and we are making progress. We still have $100,000 to go before September 1 to make sure that we can continue as a daily radio journal of God's triumphs that you rely on. So we're relying on you and God's power at work through you. Together, we'll keep bringing powerful stories of genuine life change and great commission work. We'll continue to offer our listeners opportunities to do the gospel through amazing ministry partnerships. If you haven't already, please take up this challenge today and join us in this one-of-a-kind media mission. Frank will tell you how later in the broadcast. And now to today's story.
Today on Compassion Radio.
In fact, if you talk with students that I've had over the years, most of them will say that I was a very, very good empathetic listener who cared about them, and they really picked up on it quickly, and that's one of the things they appreciated. And then if I ask myself, where did that come from? Yeah. It came out of my difficulties as a child. And even as a college student coming into one of my college classes, I don't know what's going on in that person's home life, their family life, their relationships with other people or with God. And I better not assume an awful lot, and I better be very compassionate.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way. Today, Bram talks with Dr. Quentin Schultz, a former professor at Calvin College, who writes, speaks, and consults on the subject of servant communication, or using communication to serve each other and organizations, particularly as servant leaders in education, business, and church. This is Frank Montenegro, and here's Bram with the final part of that conversation.
With me one more time on Compassion Radio here is a great friend. And I can say that honestly because in the past couple hours of conversation with this fine man, I've learned a lot about myself and what my expectations are in leadership of this organization called Compassion Radio. And I'm glad to welcome him back for one more conversation on your book, Communicate Like a True Leader. Dr. Q, welcome back.
Hey, Bram, it's my pleasure. Great to be on again.
Now, we've talked a lot about how we get to the place of being leaders. I say that openly with the entire audience that we're speaking to because we've been saying that leaders are those who follow well. And they're the people that have started with a gratitude that comes from something that's deeper than just our experiences, deeper than just our emotions, but it comes from acknowledging a truth that's bigger than ourselves. For the Christian, of course, we recognize that God's at work, so much so that he pursued me and drew me to himself and made me one of his children. So I feel a sense of identity I've never known before. And from that comes a sense of relief. I know who I am. And from this, I know what I can become because I've been promised what I will be. And from that grows the willingness to say, okay, let's try some risky things here. And you're asking us to be risky with our choices and the way we communicate. And you've said a number of times the past few days that the best thing we can do to communicate the truth to others is not to lie. And we can't tell the truth or know the truth unless we let God put it in us, and we can't know that truth unless we shut up and listen. But as we do, the truth comes and starts percolating in our souls and lives, and it starts spilling over. And I think about Jesus saying, you know, this well will well up within you and become a spring overflowing to new life. That's the kind of life he wants us to live. So let's talk about one more of these, celebration of living well. This chapter I'm going to look at here is called Risking Face, and I thought it was just a marvelously provocative title. And you talk about superheroes in this chapter, Doctor, so let's talk about that. When we dress up for Halloween, we put masks and stuff on. These are not things we wear as our normal daily routine. When we put a mask on to obscure ourselves or become a character, they're always ill-fitting. But then you see people on the screen, and of course, we seem to live in a Marvel Universe culture now, where we expect superheroes to be popping up under every rock. Those guys seem to wear the mask and be the mask. In fact, they're not somebody we even look up to until they're behind that mask. I'm worried about that. So, Doctor, let's talk a little bit about what it means to be living behind a mask and why we have this hero worship with these modern-day superheroes that we do now.
It's a great topic, isn't it? I mean, it seems like we accept in the world around us today that it is a good thing to put forward a particular mask, a persona, an image We live at a time when the image industry is just monumental. And just about everybody who starts moving up the ladder in for-profit or nonprofit work starts thinking about what their image is and if they need image consultants or their organization needs image consultants. And all of this seems to us to be naturally the way it is.
Yeah.
Our natural tendency is not to think, I wonder who I should be down deep, the kind of person I should be or the kind of organization we should be, rather than what we can put forward to impress other people.
Right.
And it seems to me that this problem is part of the human condition, though it's big now, and it goes all the way back, at least, how about this, all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Mm.
We have these forebears, Adam, humankind translated, and company.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what do these characters do? They decide to do the one thing that God tells them not to do,
right,
to eat from this tree, this forbidden fruit. And then they go off and they do two things which show how corrupt their communication is going to be. And these two corruptions flow all the way through Scripture to you and me, Bram, right here now today. And these two corruptions are as follows. Number one, they try to hide who they really are.
Yeah.
So Adam and Eve run out and they hide out in the woods somewhere and they cover themselves up and they think, wow, this is great. We don't have to look at each other. We don't have to look at God. We can just hide. We're all hiders.
Yeah.
We have this inside sense of our own shame and our guilt, the parts of us that we don't like and we don't think other people will like and so on, and we hide.
Yeah.
So we're inauthentic in that way. That's the one thing that affects all of us, leads us to put on masks. And then what happens is God shakes them down and says, hey, what's going on here? What have you guys been up to? Of course, God knows what they've been up to, but this is a question to them to get them to respond.
Right.
They have to respond. And so Eve says, hey, that serpent over there, that's the problem. That sucker made me do it.
That first image consultant.
First image consultant. Yeah. And then, of course, Adam says, she made me do it.
Yeah.
And so you see the other way that they deal with the fact that they can't stand what they've become inside is to criticize, to blame others, to foist off their problems on other people, because that makes them feel, at least temporarily, better. And so these are the two patterns that we try in this fallen world, living under the shadow of the fall, to deal with in our communication. We put on masks to hide what's really going on inside of us, and then at the same time, we criticize other people. We put them down to make ourselves feel better. The two desperate patterns of all of us mask-wearing people.
Now, is it possible for us to be superheroes without wearing a mask?
Well, let's put it this way. The mask we put on as Christians is to wear Jesus Christ. In other words, we start to act more and more like we should so that it begins to frame more and more the inside of us too. So we also wear masks, but we wear the kind of mask that we're asked to put on so that it will change our mind and our hearts.
Okay, so devil's advocate here. Are we just faking it until we make it?
We are. We're faking it, and we will never completely make it. But it's a kind of holy faking it where we say,
That's a risky statement, man.
Yeah, we'll use compassion as an example again. I am going to act more compassionately because I know I should be more compassionate. And as I move out in my compassion, I'm going to find that I'm becoming a more compassionate person.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
This is Cher Nelson. This 75th year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities and new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. And emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said, in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing. asking the Lord to touch hearts, and telling you, we need your partnership. Not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
As I move out in my compassion, I'm going to find that I'm becoming a more compassionate person. And in fact, with Jesus as a role model and Paul under Jesus as a role model and so on, what we begin to see is that people who live in Christ-like ways are people that we should imitate. Mm-hmm. And at first, we may not have in our hearts what they have in their hearts behind what they're doing. But as we become more and more like them, if I can put it this way, as we live more and more in their image, mm-hmm. like we should all live out rightly the image and likeness of God in us, we become more like that. It's just the way that we're made, and we move toward holiness, I guess is the way I'll put it.
It seems to me we're talking more about the way we dress rather than the way we cover our heads.
Yes.
And that we take on the robes. I mean, we have many different examples throughout Scripture of what it means to dress in the robes of righteousness and step out of our sinful, dirty rags. I take away from that not just that we're going to look better, that the uniform makes the man, but simply that those things that we thought were so awful are really not us. We can literally lay them down and step out of that ugliness and step into the clothing that God intended for us, which was clean and white.
There you go. And a good biblical term for this is vestment. That is to say, we invest in what God is doing in us, in our new selves. We become new people. God invests in us through the cross. And then we say, okay, I'm going to follow along with this. God's invested in me. I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to invest in other people. And we're going to put on these new vestments and go for it.
So we're investing in a new wardrobe. We literally take on the kind of armor we need for the battle ahead of us, or we take on the uniform of a servant and become the waiters for others. We play the roles that we can play because we're acting on a great stage, and we're performing our roles for one who loves us and admires his own crew. It's amazing to me that God is delighted to see us step up and step in. Not to be perfect in everything we do and not to be suspect about why we're involved in this particular pageant. But somehow God has invited us into center stage with him and with his family. And he says, go for it. Act it up. Ham it up if you need to. But don't step out of the spotlight anymore. Don't lurk in the shadows. I want to see you do your thing because I'm proud of it, not because I'm looking for faults.
Yeah, and fear not. And so the bad masks are a result of our fear. And of course, one of the things that Jesus says most frequently is fear not. Mm-hmm. And so we step on this stage that God has prepared for us. We do our thing. We try to do it faithfully. We try to do it well. We're God's craftsmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. And as we go through this, we say, wow, look at what God is doing. Oh, made a mistake over here. That's okay. That's okay. The only result of Christian perfectionism is failure. That's the only result. It's going to get us into deep trouble. God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for faithfulness, for risk takers who are willing to take off the mask, get on the stage, and do their thing authentically, depending on God through it all, and laughing with God when things do not go perfectly because God is still with us anyway. In fact, I would go as far as to say that all real human humor, things that are really funny, are only funny because in the end, God is going to turn them around anyway.
Now, Doctor, you mentioned in our earlier conversations that unmasking yourself was essential for you to step into the identity God had for you. And you had to confess to others and to yourself publicly even that you had a horrible upbringing, that things that you could not control were really, truly horrid in the way your parents' mental health was, the way you had to cope with that as a young person, and that Jesus, your understanding of the gospel, didn't even come to you until you were a young adult. And yet you sit here and talk about gratitude. You talk about your stories matter. You talk about how important it is that we express our gratitude and our joy and that we serve others. So I'm understanding from your life, these are not things that come by our natural situations, our circumstances. You're talking about something that's much deeper and much more profound than just the joys that life could bring you, because life did not bring you much joy when you were young.
Right. And I still suffer from that. I see it as a kind of unfolding, Bram. So over the course of my life, though my early years were very, very difficult with an alcoholic father and then a schizophrenic mother and them battling it and fighting and one trying to kill the other. And growing up in the middle of that, it was just awful. It was kind of hell on earth. But over the course of my life, God has brought more and more goodness and given me more and more gratitude so that there is this unfolding of gratitude that touches more and more areas of my life. And it was not that many years ago that I went back down to Chicago at my father's grave to forgive him. Mm-hmm. And I had written out things I needed to say to him in order to be able to forgive him. I couldn't hold the grudges there anymore. It was not healthy. I had, in theory, forgiven him, but I needed to go there to that spot and do it and kind of work that out. That was a very, very good thing for me to do at that time, but I had to work up to it. It was part of the unfolding. There were other things that I was able to give up on. So I think it's not that we get a one-shot deal with gratitude in life, but that more and more the Spirit shows us areas which in the past we used to see as problems, as real bad situations that hurt us. We wonder why God let that stuff happen. Over time, God begins to heal those kinds of things, and we see them in a different light. And so one of the things I've realized in my life is that the difficulty I had growing up gave me a sense of empathy toward young people that made me a much better teacher. In fact, if you talk with students that I've had over the years, most of them will say that I was a very, very good empathetic listener who cared about them, and they really picked up on it quickly, and that's one of the things they appreciated. And then if I ask myself, where did that come from? Yeah. It came out of my difficulties as a child. And even as a college student coming into one of my college classes, I don't know what's going on in that person's home life, their family life, their relationships with other people or with God. And I better not assume an awful lot, and I better be very compassionate, because how I am is going to turn them on or turn them off to Jesus and the gospel. And I think that's, in fact, why Scripture holds teachers up to quite an accounting.
You leave my children wrong, it's better than a millstone be put around your neck and get thrown in the darkest, deepest sea.
Not a good way to go, my friend.
No. And I can hear the passion in Jesus' voice, like he's making up a metaphor on the spot because he's so angry. And I want to be proud, too, of the way that people speak into lives. And when I see bad examples leading people astray, it really, really digs at me. And we don't want to be bad examples. We want to be genuine examples. You talk about in this chapter called Risking Face that, if I can paraphrase you, wounded storytellers connect with wounded listeners. The story we tell, it better be, as you said before, truthful, and that starts with true introspection, letting God be a corrective to our perspective, to actually tune our telescope to see properly down the way, and to look for the right things. And when we do, we start thinking differently, we start acting differently, we start perceiving radically differently the things that are around us. We get on his wavelength, so to speak. In conclusion here with that chapter of Risking Face, admitting that the masks that we make us frauds is essential. And the opportunity to choose a different path to let God actually dress us and prepare us for something great and noble and truthful and holy is a real life thing. It's not just for ceremony in the temple somewhere. God is trying to dress us for business right where we live. As we wrap up this particular broadcast, it's been great talking with you these past few days. I want to give you the final word on, if you want to give the encouragement, those who are listening, about the thing God's calling us to. Dr. Q, what would you challenge us to say, this is the kind of robe that God wants you to put on. These are the kind of things he wants you to leave behind. And this is how you're becoming a leader by doing these things.
Well, let's go back to love, Bram. That's the key. So God is preparing these wonderful things for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. We're God's craftsmanship, or literally God's poetry or art.
Yeah.
And God is molding these things for us to step into. And what these actions are all about, love, compassion, not the kind of romantic love in the movies and everything else, but kind of reaching out to other people without a mask and saying, brother, sister, whoever it is, I'm with you on this. We're in it together. Any way I can help you, serve you, I'm there. If we act that way in the world, as these needs come upon us and we pay attention to them, the Spirit will use us in mighty ways.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of our training. It's not a matter of degrees that we have, like me with multiple degrees. You know, you call me Dr. Q, and I say to my students, Dr. Larry, Dr. Mo, Dr. Shemp, like the Three Stooges. It's all a matter of what God is up to, paying attention, being obedient, following along, and things happen. And sometimes the small things become big things. Our big plans fall apart, but that's in God's time, God's economy, God's sense of humor. Get up in the morning, the first thing before you even crawl out of bed, say, God, thank you for another day of life. Show me how I can serve another person today. It will happen.
My wife and I have been praying together for many years, especially since 2009 when I had a major stroke. The prayer has become, God, thank you for today. Please give us many more, because we've got kids to raise and hopes and futures that we are dreaming for them and for grandchildren as God would bring them to us. And he's been very faithful with each of those days. And he's been faithful with each of our dreams to put those in his hand and be grateful and full of gratitude for the things that haven't even been born yet. I look with great expectancy to what God has for us in the future and for this ministry of Compassion Radio. And I'm grateful for people like you, Doctor, who are speaking in this kind of rich warmth and empathy, compassion, and gratitude towards those who have such an impact and such a responsibility for our economy, for our organizations, for our churches, for our culture, for the world. Thank you for investing the way you have in the past few years.
I'm honored, my friend. Thank you.
Dr. Quentin Schultz, Communicate Like a True Leader is his latest book. I know it's available out there on Amazon and other locations. So look him up if you're looking for a way to be encouraged to step into and step up from the common, the mundane, and stepping into what God has for you. This book is for those who are disciples, not just for those who think of themselves as being in positions of leadership. And thank you for sharing the stories that go along with it. I hope we have a chance to have many more of these discussions in the future.
Thank you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.